You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today's Friday. Happy Friday, February 26th. I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker, here with David Youngs, Twins Daily, newer writer at Twins Daily. David has joined the team and has done a great job thus far, going to be doing some minor league reports this summer for the St. Paul Saints. We'll talk a little bit about that today. But David, tell us a little bit about yourself and where people can find you on Twitter.
Absolutely. Hey, well, thanks for having me on, Nash. Really appreciate it. And yeah, like you mentioned, I'm one of the newbies at Twins Daily. I started up this last June. I went to Concordia College, as our friend on WCCO, Corey Heppler, calls it, the Yale of the Midwest. Graduated with a journalism degree there, but Twins Daily has been great. If you want to follow my content as well as get some baseball commentary, links to other Twins Daily stuff, you can follow me at DYoungs15 with a capital DY. But yeah, looking forward to this hopefully more normal 2021 season. But especially looking forward to some Twins Daily coverage of the new Twins farm system.
Yeah, and David is kind of a superstar with Twins trivia. Took him on in Twins Jeopardy a few times this offseason. I think you still have the crown, David.
You know, I cannot confirm or deny that. I just might. And I haven't been on an episode since then, so I don't know if Seth Stost decided to retire it, or just didn't think anybody out there could beat me, which is false because I just got lucky that day. There's definitely some smarter Twins fans out there. But
here's the fact of the matter. You are the favorite heading into next offseason's Jeopardy games, which is exciting. And
absolutely. You know, even if
on your head.
I do. And even if I'm not the best, you know, I'll take the role as fan favorite. You know, the Williams Astudillo of the bunch may not be the best, but, you know, fan favorite.
Yeah, and let's talk about Williams a little bit. Fan favorite. I talked to Nick last week a little bit about that last roster spot for the Twins. What's your feeling on Astudillo for that spot, Dave?
Well, I think that, you know, for Astudillo, he has proven more so in 2019 than in 2020 that he can be successful. You know, he's an aggressive player. For the better or worse, we've seen him really attack, you know, first pitch. And unfortunately, we saw that more for the worse in 2020. But with the Twins, you've got at the catcher position, obviously, you've got Mitch Garver and Ryan Jeffers. And it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because those two, I think, will both get maybe not an equal shot, but they'll both get a lot of time, especially since Jeffers had a successful 2020 campaign. But if the Twins are looking for another bat on the roster, wouldn't be surprised to see Astudillo as that name. I know that a lot of fans are pushing for it. I would say I'm impartial. You know, maybe give that to another younger player. But at the same time, La Tortuga has proved that he can be an asset to the team.
Yeah, David and I are going to cover the St. Paul Saints, like I mentioned, this summer. Really excited to do that. And I have a little article dropping tonight about the opening day roster. I don't have Astudillo on the Saints opening day roster because my assumption, or at least I think it's leaning toward him making the Twins roster for opening day. But we got a report this morning from Dan Hayes, and I don't know if this is much of a surprise for me. I think this is, and we'll talk about this and I'll give my opinion on it, but I want to ask you what to make of this report that perhaps the Twins are considering bringing up Alex Kirilloff for opening day rather than keeping him down for a couple weeks to get that extra year of service time, quoted saying, "We want to win." What do you think, Dave? You think this is a wise choice? And for those who don't know, Major League Baseball players, usually after 6 years of team control with a certain club, will then enter free agency. And if you hold them down, there's a loophole with the amount of days they call them in a year. If you hold a guy down for like 17 extra days in a year, you get a whole nother full year of service time, because that year doesn't count essentially. So you get 7 years instead of six. And that's the dilemma the Twins are facing with Alex Kirilloff. Do you think this is a smart choice, David, or should they be pushing to get that seventh year in 2027?
Yeah, well, I think first off, it's important, you know, the phrase service time and everything that goes around it has certainly been a hot topic because of things that we won't necessarily get into right now as of recent. So one, I like that Twins are being honest with it and saying that we want to go out and win. The move itself is, it's intriguing. I could even say it's a power move. Kirilloff obviously showed that he can play last year in the playoffs. But we got to remember he's a young guy. If we're going by MLB standards where playoff games don't count towards major league games, essentially, even though it is a game, he has not played an inning of major league baseball. And it's especially intriguing considering that they've got Jake Cave, who has shown that he's very solid on defense and on a lot of teams across the league could be a starting corner outfielder. So, you know, I would have opted for perhaps, you know, starting Cave there for the first month and, you know, essentially bringing Kirilloff up a little bit later. But as we've seen, this management and this ownership has the leadership that has paid off in the sense that they've got a plan. And I think the more that we've seen Falvey and Levine work their magic, it's certainly easier to buy in now that we've seen some things working. So, well, I don't know if I would make that move myself. You got to trust the process.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting spot for them to be. Like you said, like I don't think the drop off to Jake Cave for a couple weeks is that big, especially against right-handed pitching. Like Cave's held his own, and I put up some numbers, much smaller sample, but I think he has a higher OPS against righties than Eddie Rosario does the last handful of years.
That he did.
Yes. So I don't think the drop off would be that considerate. I just think, I don't know. I feel like there's a lot more intangible with this where Alex Kirilloff is your left fielder of the future. Do you make that statement? That's what you're saying, David. It's a power move. You know, do you make that statement and say, this is our left fielder. We know this is going to be a tight race in the American League Central. We want this guy on opening day. And this is a statement that he's our left fielder.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, when you talk about that AL Central race on the national baseball scene, in reference to the AL Central, it's been White Sox, White Sox, White Sox. Yep. Regardless of how teams necessarily stack up, the national spotlight has been on the Chicago White Sox. The additions that they've made, bringing in guys like Adam Eaton, bringing in guys like Lance Lynn. Recently I wrote a piece stacking up designated hitters in the American League Central. And for the White Sox, DH is pretty much their only position with some uncertainty. They might bring up Andrew Vaughn, who was their first round pick in 2019. But to go back to your question, you know, this could be potentially a move by the Twins to, say that, hey, we're in it to win it. We know that Chicago beefed up, but hey, so did we. And if people don't know it, now they're going to, and we're not here to play games.
Built Bar now has a flash sale for the Coconut Puff Bar. It's a luscious chocolate, a soft marshmallow. It's made with premium collagen protein blend, 16 grams of protein, 130 calories, only 6 grams of sugar. It's gluten-free, it's preservative-free, and it's limited time only. Only a one-day sale at BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com. Built Bars are delicious. Built Bars are healthy. I'm skeptical about protein bars. Anytime I try a protein bar, I don't expect it to taste good because a lot of them don't. Built Bars are legitimately delicious. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they're great for the health conscious guy like me. I'm a type 1 diabetic, so now anytime I think of having a protein bar or even a candy bar for that matter, I go to BuiltBar.com. I use promo code LOCKEDON and I order it straight from there. Plus right now with that flash sale for the delicious coconut puff bar, you're going to want in on this action and you're going to want in on Built Bars. They really are delicious. They really are healthy. Take advantage of this one-day sale. Order now at BuiltBar.com and use that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. We got baseball coming up as well. You're going to want in on this action. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to our website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Again, go to betonline.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDON. This platform is very easy to navigate. It's very easy to go through, pick what you want, bet on it. You're not going to want to sit on the sidelines anymore. Again, that's betonline.ag. Use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
I really like the idea of opening day, Kepler, Donaldson, Kirilloff, Cruz. And I know that's a stretch. You throw them right there, third in the lineup. But
that's a tasty lineup right there.
Yeah, I just love that top four. And that leaves you kind of thin on lefties. You know, you're going to have Jorge Polanco there at the bottom half because Luis Arraez, you know, wouldn't be in that lineup unless there's an injury. But what is your feeling about that, David? Watching Luis Arraez in 2019, and, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you – maybe more so than others would appreciate that style, you know, because you're more, you know, you're history. You're a history guy with the Twins. You loved the, not the old school game, but I would say
Piranha's baseball,
a little small ball action. Luis Arraez kind of emulates that. So what was your feeling when they signed in Drelton Simmons and moved Arraez to the utility role?
Yeah, well, I think that when you bring in one of the greatest defensive shortstops, arguably in the history of the modern game of baseball, you can't be upset about it. And I think that especially with the struggles that Polanco has had at short, this move to seconds will be a confidence booster for him because Polanco is absolutely a player that can still contribute to this team. But at the same time, Arraez is a bat, more so than any utility man that the Twins may have ever had in recent history, that I think they need to find ways to get him in the starting lineup. And whether that be, you know, there's been talks of him in left fields, obviously Arraez is no more for getting on base than for his defense. But he's someone that, you know, in a stretch of seven games, you want to see him playing three, four games in that, in my opinion, just because he's shown that, he puts the ball in play. He's a scrappy player. You know, like you mentioned, he is the more traditional Twins baseball hitter that we've come to know and love. And, you know, certainly the game is moving into an era more so of the long ball. And there's nothing wrong with it. I'm a firm believer that as things progress, you gotta hop on the train or get left behind at the station. But just the assets that Arraez can bring, I still think are going to be critical for the Twins when it comes to big moments and needing a guy on base.
I'm glad you brought that up, David, because I think there's been a sense recently, and I'm not saying it's a wrong sense, that the Twins lineup is way too much of a three true outcomes, walk, strikeout, home run lineup. There's not enough contact in the lineup. Mm-hmm. You know, they strike out too much. They don't, it's all or nothing for the home run ball. I think this year you're going to see guys, Alex Kirilloff, you look at him, he's a big boy, but this is a clean, pure hitting prospect. Doesn't strike out a lot, doesn't walk a lot either. He's a line drive, gap to gap. He's got big power, but by no means is he a three true outcomes guy. He's a contact guy. He's going to make a lot of contact, a lot of line drives, just a pure swinging left-handed bat. Maybe the best since Joe Mauer. And that's what Dan Hayes wrote this morning. Then you add in Simmons, who's one of the best contact hitters in the league. Luis Arraez is already there. I mean, they're adding guys and infusing guys into this lineup that are going to make more contact. So I think you're going to notice that.
Exactly. And I think with that too, you know, maybe that could have something to do with the statement made that they're bringing up Kirilloff right away, is that he is that contact hitter. And maybe, you know, the leadership saw that they needed more of that in the starting lineup. So that could have something to play in as well.
Yeah. And I think that's an interesting point. And I think the additions are interesting, you know, to bring in Simmons like that, who is such a high contact guy. But I do have a stat here, David. I want to get your reaction to this. Highest batting average, minimum 350 plate appearances by a rookie in their age 22 or younger season over the last 50 years. Luis Arraez is first at 334. Second is Albert Pujols, 329. And third is Mike Trout at 326.
You could say small company.
You could say small sample. I wouldn't disagree with you, but that's what we're working with here. And I want to transition. You mentioned the White Sox last night. I have some Sox buddies down here at Mizzou. They told me last night that Lourdes Garcia, the Sox utility man, who is an 85 OPS plus over the last 2 years, is better than Luis Arraez. And quote, they're on the same level of player. And I think for me, this kind of emulated the sense of White Sox fans. Not as a whole, but a lot of them. Almost borderline delusion. when you look at this division, what do you see in store?
Well, I think, you know, obviously there's the battle between the Twins and the White Sox that that's making headlines, and that's absolutely true. And I would agree with you that that take by your buddies down in Mizzou might be a bit delusional. if there's one crowd out there on Twitter that is definitely likes to stir the pot in the AL Central, in addition to Twins Twitter, it might be White Sox Twitter. But I think, you know, when you look at the Central, watch out for these Kansas City Royals. You know, they're a team that Mike Matheny is a proven winner, and no, last year, his first year didn't go great, but if you look at their lineup, you've got a lot of stellar players with, you know, obviously, and then you've got the addition of Carlos Santana. They signed Andrew Benintendi to their outfield to replace Alex Gordon. And they've got, you know, they're going to be right in there for that three spot with Cleveland, I think. And, you know, I know that a lot of projections are still putting Cleveland above the White Sox. They've got the pitching, obviously, with Bieber. But, you know, when you look at their bats, you've got Jose Ramirez. And then about 50 miles down from that, you've got Eddie Rosario and you've got and a few other guys. But it's something where it'll be interesting to see play out. And, you know, with the Tigers, too, I think perhaps one of the most undervalued moves across baseball this year was really bringing in AJ Hinch to manage that Detroit ball club. Hinch has had his flaws in the past. We all know that. But I think that he is one of the brightest faces in the game when it comes to managing a baseball team. And I think he gets the analytical side of baseball. He's personable. And I think he's really going to move that Tiger Club in the right direction.
I was expecting them to do more. I thought maybe they'd surprise us in free agency because they brought in Hinch, you know, to get.
Yeah, he's a high profile name.
Right. I thought they would. They ended up, you know, re-signing Jonathan Scope, which, you know, he's their best hitter last year with CJ Cron before Cron went down to former Twins. Sometimes we call him the Detroit Twins, especially when Guardy was there. But now it is Hinch. And I agree. I think the division's improving, and Falvey and Rocco and those guys will agree and say, yes, the division is improving. I do think it's going to be really interesting because I think the variance on a team like the White Sox is very high. I think you could see them plummet. You could see them win 100 games. I think they could finish somewhere in the middle. And then where that lands among Cleveland and the Royals, who have some upside, because I like their lineup too. And Salvador Perez was a monster last year. I think is going to be fascinating to watch. And I think all four of those teams, more so the Twins and the White Sox, will beat up on the Tigers in the bottom half.
And I think too, like, when you look at Salvador Perez, he may be the best catcher that the Central has seen since Joe Mauer. If you look at his stats and his numbers, just absolutely electric. And obviously there's been some injury issues there, but easy guy to cheer for and a fun guy to watch, to say the least.
For sure. I like the K. I like Kaufman. Try to get there every summer. Hopefully we'll get back.
Absolutely. I got the nice waterfall out there in right field.
Yeah. Yep. Very nice. We got the Twins opener on Sunday. It's Nathan Eovaldi versus Devin Smeltzer. Monday, Tyler Glasnow is going to pitch against the Twins for Tampa Bay. That'll be fun. Maybe just we'll throw an inning or two, but it's always fun to see a guy like that. I don't know if these are televised early on, but they will be starting mid next week. What are some things you're watching for in spring training, David? I know Kirilloff's a big story. He's going to get probably, you know, he'll get a fair share of at-bats this spring to find out if he'll be ready for opening day. But who are you watching this spring?
Well, I would say the two big names that I'm really looking at right now are Devin Smeltzer and Lewis Thorpe. There's the talk of who fills out that final spot in the Twins bullpen. And Thorpe has absolutely been a name that has been circulated in there quite a bit. But Smeltzer as well is someone that has proven that he can be successful. Obviously he's had his rough patches, but you know, off the field has a really unique story, has faced a lot of adversity. But when it comes to spring training, you know, obviously with that first game on Sunday, it'll be interesting to see what he brings out. And, you know, for a lot of guys, spring training is about, you know, getting the rust off, going through the motions. But for a lot of these guys too, obviously it's the chance to prove themselves. And that couldn't be more true for Smeltzer and Thorpe. I'm also looking forward to at Twins Daily, John Bonas is down at the fort, putting out a lot of great content. So that's always fun to tune into, seeing John in his Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, we got to get, I mean, the crew and with John down there too, it's fun to see, and it's fun to see everything they bring from Fort Myers. It's been great so far, and Dustin Morris too with the videos of the Twins. It's just
absolutely
good to see them back. David, I want to ask you before I let you get on your lunch break here. I know you got to put some food in that stomach. Jake Odorizzi remains unsigned. We talked about this earlier this offseason on, I think it was on Jeopardy. We talked about this.
Yeah.
About how we both said we'd like to see him back. He still is unsigned, and he's basically the only pitcher left on Aaron Gleeman's top 20 at the Athletic, free agent starting pitchers, that remains on the board. I think Cole Hamels is the other one, and you know, a couple others. What's your sense of this? Do you think the Twins will be fine without Jake Odorizzi? Do you think the Twins should be making a bigger push for Jake Odorizzi? And then maybe what terms would you want to see him back on?
You know, it's a tough scenario because Odorizzi obviously got dealt pretty much every bad card that he could last year with injuries. Year before, he was an all-star alongside Berríos, and just, you know, a talented pitcher. And, you know, the thing is, though, you know, obviously Odorizzi has been offered by teams, but nothing that teams and him and his agent have agreed on. I'd love to see him back in Minnesota. Don't get me wrong. I think, you know, he would turn a very good rotation into a great rotation, to say the least. You know, now there's the question of, you know, who else is looking for pitchers. I could see him going a couple other places as well, but would love to see him back at Target Field on a one-year deal. You know, obviously the Twins have spent this offseason. They did it late, but they sure enough, they did it. So, you know, I don't know if that's something that they jump on later on in spring training or if it's something early on in the season, if he's still unsigned, but I'd have to believe that the Twins and Odorizzi's folks are still in talks.
Yeah. I think what it comes down to for me, and this is the reality of the situation. I'm not saying that there needs to be a set payroll. There's no salary cap in baseball, but I think right now with the finances, maybe they don't have the flexibility to add payroll to sign Jake Odorizzi. And if they did, maybe that means that they can't add more at the deadline. You know what I mean? Like signing Jake Odorizzi now for 10 to 12 million, if Jim Pohlad said, if Jim Pohlad said that to Falvey Levine, said, you can do this, but then he said, you're done for the year. And they said at the deadline, hey, we really want to add, I don't know, John Gray or Noah Syndergaard or Marcus Stroman, pending free agent, but we need to pick up some salary there. He's going to say, hey, you know what? I signed off on Odorizzi for that spot. And if that's your ultimatum, and if that's the case, I think I wait till the deadline.
I do too, Nash. And I think that it's a tough game to play, but you know that there are going to be some great arms out there like Gray, like Syndergaard potentially at that deadline. And so I think that's definitely the safe move for the Twins given Odorizzi's injury history, but also the sense that the Twinkies have a pretty darn good rotation right now. Yep. And I don't think there's any major holes.
Yeah, they don't have Trueblood, and I talked about this, a clear weakness on the roster, you know, but they could stand to benefit from adding an arm or two. And if that's at the deadline and the Cincinnati Reds are tanking and they're brutal and they want to deal Luis Castillo or Sonny Gray, I think the Twins keep flexibility to add that payroll. David, thanks so much. Tell us again where we can find you on Twitter, and then let's get your prediction for the American League Central in 2021.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on, Nash. I'll be down in SEC World this fall going to a Tennessee Vols football game. Good old Rocky Top. But folks can follow me on Twitter at DYoungs15. And my AL Central is going to look like this. I don't think any team is going to win 100 games, but I think you can put the Twins in at 95 games, White Sox at 92. I'm gonna put out a hot take here. Say the Kansas City Royals are going to finish above the Cleveland baseball team right around that 500 mark. And then as much as I'd love to say the Tigers would be improving, I think they will be better than last year, but I think they'll still be at the cellar.
Yep. Thanks, David. Always a good chat. I could talk to you all day, you know that, but we're going to have you on again soon because that was a solid chat. And you can find David at that Twitter handle. Go follow him. Good Twitter follow. David, thanks again, and go enjoy your lunch.
Absolutely. Thank you, Nash, and win Twins.